First, a lot of people have eagerly started planting seeds. Farmers market season is beginning in many places with some added precautions. And meat processing plants are experiencing a lot of turmoil. Just might be a good time to refresh our vegetarian-friendly cooking skills. And leaving out the meat doesn't have to mean leaving out the flavor, the satisfaction, or the nutrients. Aaron Alderson is a cookbook author, vegetarian recipe developer, and founder of the vegetarian cooking website, NaturallyElla.com. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, Aaron, have you noticed any changes in the kinds of recipes that people are looking for, or even that you're looking for in this unusual time?
I've noticed a lot of people are really digging into their pantry more, which results in searches and questions about grains and legumes. And so I think that people are trying to focus more inward in what they already have, which is kind of great to see.
There's an old stereotype about vegetarian cooking that I think is waning, but it's probably still out there. The idea that it's not going to be satisfying. It's not going to fill us up. And when I look at the recipes you have online, on Instagram, and on your website, I look at the pictures and the descriptions, and I think, hearty. These are hearty dishes, many of them you're cooking. Can you talk about how that might go against what people think about vegetarian cooking?
Yes, I hear that quite a bit. And it's funny because so both of my husband and I are from Illinois. And so we grew up in good Midwestern cuisine. And he had a hard time transitioning for the most part. But he really, as he got more into eating vegetarian dishes, he was like, wow, I don't miss the meat, because I'm really big on using components. So making sure I have loaded with vegetables, lots of grains, again, lots of legumes, heavy use of nuts, making sure that things I do are big on flavor, because I think sometimes if things don't have a lot of flavor, we tend to eat more or feel like we need more. And really honing in on what I can get a hold of seasonally, I think helps as well.
You mentioned beans. Let's get into one of the recipes you shared with us. And we've got this online at WPR.org/Food Friday. It's a soup. This looks really good. Carrot white bean soup with herbs. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yes. So I have been on my Instagram sharing lots of bean content, but one of the things I'm a big proponent of is batch making beans. And so this soup comes from white beans that I usually keep on hand weekly. I use the broth from the beans to help flavor the soup. And I am obsessed with carrots. I think that it's a lot of people like, oh, carrots, you know, what can I do with them? So much. And so this soup brings my love of the beans together, the love of the carrots, and then I finish it off with a lot of herbs and a little bit of miso to help round everything out.
What kind of herbs end up in here?
I really love a mix of dill and parsley. I think that dill to me is one of those quintessential spring herbs, because it doesn't really last during summer, especially where I am now in California. Dill tends to wane when it gets hotter. And so I just feel that the dill works really well with a lot of the seasonal produce in spring. And so that's why I'm pretty heavy handed with it in this soup.
And you mentioned being flexible with what we have in our pantry right about now. And when you write about beans on your website, you say, you know, first choice, cook the dry beans, have batches of them ready to rock. But if you got a can of beans, you'll use a can of beans.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think that there sometimes gets to be this stigma where it's like, oh, I have to be exact, or I am totally a proponent of use what you have. And especially, you know, nowadays, people aren't going to the grocery store as often as I would assume they are. I mean, I used to go probably every other day, and now it's a week to bi-weekly trip. And so I'm constantly digging through my pantry and saying, well, could I use this? Can I change it up? And normally the answer is yes.
Speaking of shopping, how have you changed the way you shop, given that you're trying to do things in, you know, one trip instead of every other day trips?
It has definitely been a change for me because, like I said, I'm used to going every other day, every 3 days. And so it's forced me to really think ahead and, again, think about, okay, well, I have this produce on hand. What do I think I might need? And I still inevitably weekly come home and I realize, oh, I forgot this. But we learn to live without.
talking to Erin Alderson. You can find a lot of her recipes on the vegetarian cooking website, naturallyella.com. She's talking about making great vegetarian meals, entrees, soups, and more, even if you're not a vegetarian yourself. And Erin, I understand you actually transitioned. You haven't always been a vegetarian yourself. What was it like for you making the shift toward more and more vegetables and then mainly just vegetarian?
It was tough at first, primarily because that was also when I was really starting to learn to cook. And so I wasn't sure what I was doing in both respects. But as I got more confident in my cooking abilities and matching flavors and really experimenting, I realized that there's so much fun to be had with using the ingredients in the realm of the vegetarian world. And so eventually, once I got comfortable with that, I don't miss it at all, because I think that there's so much, again, so much fun to be had.
It's clear to me you're a fan of humble ingredients, and I don't think there's anything more humble than a turnip. And that's another recipe you've shared with us. You've got these pan-fried turnips with thyme and breadcrumbs. I don't think I've ever eaten turnips made this way. I like a good turnip. Talk about this recipe, and like you end up with breadcrumbs and get a little crust on these guys?
A little bit, yes. So these actually use one of my favorite cooler weather varietals, which is the Hakurei turnips, which is a Japanese varietal of turnips. So it's not those bigger turnips we're used to seeing. They're smaller, they're white, they're about the size of a golf ball. With their greens, you can eat the whole thing, and they're a little bit more mellow. So if someone thinks, oh, I really do not like turnips, because they can be a little bit aggressive, these turnips, a little bit more mellow, and I think that they're just wonderful in salads by themselves, or this is one of my favorite sides, just pan fried lightly, little herbs. And yeah, it's perfect for me.
Well, now sometimes I'm at the grocery store and their turnip selection is limited to the one kind of turnip. Can I make this dish with the, you know, standard issue turnip variety? You know, I'll get more of that turnip flavor, but is it going to come out okay?
It will. It'll still come out okay.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, what else do you like to do with those roots that people don't necessarily? I mean, carrots and potatoes we eat a lot. The turnips, the rutabagas. I love parsnips. What kind of things do you like to do with those?
I tend to roast a lot of them, but I also find, I think I have another recipe for turnips in particular, where I pan fry them with a soy sauce based sauce and turn it into almost like a fried rice dish with some rice. And the turnip flavor is just perfect enough with the soy sauce mix that it all comes together great.
What kind of seasonal ingredients are you excited about when springtime rolls around?
Oh, everything. I get really excited about, the normals, asparagus, strawberries, lots of greens. I feel like, we get greens out here during the winter, but for whatever reason, in springtime, I get even more excited about those greens. And so the arugula, the spinach, especially because we have kind of a short spring season. It's already been getting up into the 90s out here. So I really like to hone in on eating as many of those fresh greens as I can.
We're talking to Erin Alderson from the website Naturally Ella. She's the author of several cookbooks and a vegetarian recipe developer and educator. She's sharing some recipes and suggestions with us on Food Friday. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Whether you're a vegetarian or not, do you have some favorite meatless friendly meals? If you're not vegetarian, do you try to include some meatless meals in your mix? Do you have questions about how to make certain things for Erin? And are there favorite ingredients that you love to have, vegetable ingredients, the tofus and things like that of the world that you like to mix into your cooking? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've got a few recipes from Erin. These look good. They're at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Erin Alderson. She has a popular vegetarian cooking website and Instagram called Naturally Ella. She's sharing some great meat-free cooking ideas today, advice and recipes. And you could join in this week's Food Friday at 800-642-1234. Have you made the move to a more plant-focused diet, whether it's full veggie or not? What are some of your favorite meals without meat? you have questions about using up a certain kind of vegetable? Do you have something that you look forward to any given time of year, like springtime, say? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, find a few recipes from Aaron over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Before we go to our callers, Aaron, I want to check out one more recipe you've shared with us. And I'm here in Wisconsin. I'm going to admit some cheese ignorance. We've got an herby kale omelet with Manchego cheese. I had to look this up. It's a cheese of La Mancha in Spain. Tell us about this omelet.
So the omelet itself is pretty straightforward, except that I make a kale sauce. And I will be the first to admit, I don't normally like all cooked greens. I'm very particular about that, but I really love them in sauce, especially this one, because it's paired with a lot of herbs. Again, you'll notice I'm kind of big on the herbs. And sure, this one has tarragon, which I feel like doesn't get used often enough, primarily probably because people are a little nervous about that licorice flavor. But I feel like it's really nice when paired with the kale and the parsley. And then the Manchego cheese has enough flavor to balance that kind of herb punch that I feel like it just comes together in the omelet.
And it's a sheep milk cheese. If I can't find that particular one, are there other sheep milk cheeses I could sub in there?
Honestly, I feel like I am, when it comes to putting cheese in an omelet, not most picky person. I do love my cheeses. So really anything that'll give a good melt is a good substitute.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Rhiannon in Clyman is on the air. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what'd you want to bring up?
So I have a fantastic recipe. It's my go-to eggless egg salad with tofu. And I love how your guest is talking about punches of flavor and just making it a very robust and umami type of food, because vegetarian and vegan can end up being a little bit flat if you don't flavor it right. So the secret that I found with eggless egg salad is replacing the eggs with tofu, but ensuring you press it well enough. And to get that sulfury little bit of egg undertone is adding black salt. It gives that just little bit of sulfur flavor.
Ooh, interesting. Wow, that's a well-thought-out tofu egg-style salad. What do you think, Aaron?
I think that sounds amazing with the black salt. That sounds perfect.
I've never tried black salt before. My salt experimentation has been limited. Is that something you play with, different kinds of salts in your cooking to add different textures and flavors?
Not as much as I should. I have a little bit, but I feel like I need to go order some black salt now.
Yeah, I kind of want to, too. And before we go back to our callers, thanks a lot for that call, by the way. You're talking about the herbs. I got to say, back in the old days, I used to, if I'd have a fresh herb or sometimes even dried herbs, I'd sprinkle a little teaspoonful in and, you don't even notice that it's there. And one thing I've learned from doing these Food Fridays over the years is to go big and bold with flavors. And it really, using cilantro, an ingredient, not a seasoning.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of territory we're talking about, like handfuls instead of pinches?
Yes. And I think I learned this a lot when I've been reading a lot of different cultural cookbooks, and Middle Eastern cuisine really, I feel like is wonderful with this, because you just see salads that are half herbs, and it's really inspiring, because I feel like, yeah, I was the same for a long time where I was like, oh, I'll just use a little, but herbs are meant to be used and used boldly, I feel. And so I've been really inspired by reading some different cookbooks.
Let's go back to our callers now. Dawn is with us in South Milwaukee. Dawn, hello.
Hi there. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Dawn?
I was just wanted to make a comment that I'm a real fan of the root vegetables, but there's not much out there that I find in cookbooks about how to cook them in different ways. And I'd like to enjoy them all year long. And I was just wondering if you could give any guidance about some different ideas on how to cook them.
Well, Dawn, I got to ask, do you oven roast your root vegetables, the parsnips or even carrots or for that matter?
Well, I'm just new at learning at cooking right now. I've just kind of started cooking, and I've done a lot of sauteing, and I've done some pureeing, but I have not done the oven roasting yet. I haven't started with that.
Dawn, thank you so much. I was where you were not that long ago, and oven roasting root vegetables really just added so much. Do you have advice on oven roasting for her and anybody else who's interested, Aaron?
Yes. One of my things is that I feel like people are scared to overcook vegetables. But when it comes to roasting, especially root vegetables, I feel like there needs to be a little bit more aggressiveness, because yeah. I'd rather have a root vegetable that's nice and tender, golden on the outside, than one that's undercooked. So I recommend, if you're starting to feel a little nervous, leave it in for a little bit longer and just keep checking, because I feel like root vegetables really want that really nice cooking.
And I'm just cutting stuff up, tossing it in oil, and then throwing it in the oven. And the one thing I've kind of learned over the years from people is, you know, don't just throw it in at 350. You're cranking it to like 425. Some people go even higher. Do you like a good hot oven for your root vegetables?
I do. I'm a 425 person.
Okay. That's kind of where I'd settled, actually. So that I'm glad I'm in the right place. Thank you so much for that call. I hope that helps. Give it a try. Oven roasted root vegetables are awesome, and it's kind of hard to screw up too badly, I think. Let's go to another caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Nick on the line now in Green Bay. Nick, hello.
Oh, geez, here we go. I'm going to yell at. I have a question for you. I'm a bad diabetic. I don't even pay attention to my blood sugar, which is really bad. And it seems like everything that's really good for you doesn't taste very good, and everything that's really bad for you tastes really good. Any suggestions on how to get over this little dilemma?
Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Now, neither of us, or I'm not a nutritionist. I don't think you are either, Aaron. But can you talk about just some good, basic, healthy tasting food that's going to get Nick started? Maybe, I don't know, going back to the bean family, I believe is pretty diabetic friendly.
Yes, I am also not a nutritionist, but I know when it comes to flavors, it's going to go back to, I feel like my repeating theme on today's show is flavor is really your friend, and experimenting, no matter what you're cooking with, a lot of spices, really dig into that spice cupboard that you might have, a lot of herbs, a lot of garlic and onions. And I feel like you start to add more of that in, and you can really build a flavor base that can hopefully help you transition a little bit to eating something a little healthier.
Okay. While you were talking, I did some extensive research. The American Diabetes Association advises people with diabetes to add dried beans or no sodium canned beans to several meals each week. So seek ye the beans, add some, chili powder or something to it, and work up from there maybe. That's a good, I hope you can be a better diabetic. Good luck to you. We are talking about vegetarian cooking on Food Friday. Erin Alderson is with us. Her website is Naturally Ella. She's got an Instagram too. We've got some of her recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go to another caller now. John is with us, calling from Delafield. John, hello.
Well, hello. I'm a lifelong carnivore trying to move more to vegetarian. And so I'm curious what Aaron thinks about my favorite food, a burger, but these synthetic burgers like Beyond Meat, Impossible Meat, whatever they're called, and whether she has any ideas to improve upon that concept of sort of a meatless hamburger, because what I've tasted, I haven't been terribly impressed with.
John, thanks a lot for the call. I think a lot of people in John's boat, Aaron.
Yes. So I think that the meatless options out there, it's great to see an increase in the amount of options for vegetarian and vegans nowadays, but I tend to stick with homemade versions of these because I just like to know what's going into them. And what I found across the board, whether I'm using something from the freezer section or one of these new items, is that I still treat it as though I'm cooking a regular burger, and I make sure I layer it with all the sauces and dress it up with some grilled onions. And because sometimes I feel like, especially transitioning into something like this, it can be a little off-putting if your brain thinks it's going to be one thing. So setting realistic expectations, knowing it's going to be different, but still dressing it up like your favorite burger.
All right. Hope that helps. We have a lot of good walnut burgers, I'll say, here in Wisconsin that are also excellent vehicles for condiments. They're crunchy, though, not like a real hamburger. I didn't see it on your website, but I didn't dig all the way through, Aaron. Have you experimented with making your own, patty-like substances that you might serve on a bun with awesome condiments?
I do. I actually have a nut burger that I have been working on for years to perfect, and it's one of my favorite. It doesn't grill, but you pan fry it in a little bit of oil. So yeah, it's kind of exactly what you were just saying about the walnut version, is that it gets crisp on the outside, but it stays together and it just has really nice flavor. So again, it's not meat. It's not going to taste like meat, but it's its own thing. And I think that's wonderful.
Let's bring on one more caller. Karen is with us in Cuba City. Karen, hello.
Hi. Okay, so I'm hoping you guys can disabuse me of the idea that I've hallucinated this. A couple of weeks ago, I swear I saw a recipe online using hostas, as they were very, very tightly filled up, and it said you could use them just like you do asparagus or fiddlehooks, but they have to be tightly filled. And we have a wonderful greenhouse near here, and they have thousands of different hostas. And I went over and talked to the guy there, and he'd never heard of it. But I swear I saw this.
All right. I'm looking online. It says hostas are supposedly edible for humans. However, dogs, cats, and horses should not eat them. Have you? I have never even heard of this. Aaron, have you ever heard of cooking with hostas?
I have to say I was frantically Googling just now because I had not heard of that. But I feel like that's one of those things. I am not a forager. I have much respect for people who are really good at that. But I just saw that one of the people that I admire about foraging says about cooking and eating hostas. So again, now something I have to add to my list to go check out.
All right, and she mentioned in our last few moments, Aaron, she did mention asparagus there, your favorite way to cook and then eat asparagus, please.
I like to shave it and add it to pasta at the very end because I don't like overcooked asparagus. And so the shaved pasta, the shaved asparagus keeps a little bit of the crunchy texture, but you still get that great spring asparagus flavor.
Fantastic. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Rob, for having me.
That's Aaron Alderson, creator of the Naturally Ella vegetarian cooking website and Instagram. You can find more about her and her recipes at naturallyella.com. We've got recipes she shared for herby kale omelet, the carrot white bean soup, and the pan-fried turnips up at WPR.org/foodfriday.